Good morning, everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Jenna Seaborn is here in studio, and that always makes me happy. I love Laura Sievert, but she's a little bit too Iowa for me. How did the blood drive go yesterday?
Man, we were filled up.
Good.
It was really good. They said
Did you put them in on Illinois instead of Iowa? Please, Jenna, tell me. Tell me you did that.
For sure. So we always have room for walk-ins, but every advanced spot was filled. But if you're still able to give this month, you can get a $10 e-gift card. I think it's for Amazon.
Yeah, $10 e-gift card for Amazon.
Yeah, but
and I think you're entered in an even bigger drawing for like $5,000 or something.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you still go to redcrossblood.org, you can sign up for other area blood drives because there's always a critical need, especially now with the hurricane. Aftermath. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it's pretty desperate. They can't have blood drives because of the hurricane, and they need blood because of the hurricane. So it's always a double whammy. Well, let's talk about Oktoberfest, the parade and field competition. But there's something new. The Lorenzo Bullhouse at 1515 Main has caught on to the fact that they have the best seat in town for any parade that goes by.
Oh, yeah.
And so before we talk about the parade, let's talk about Oktoberfest Parade Park Party at the Lorenzo Bull Park, 1515 Main Street, because basically they're putting up bleachers and everything for comfortable viewing, I understand.
Great. Well, I understood that this is the second or third year that they're doing this.
Well, they've done it for Dogwood, I'm pretty sure. And this may be more than 1 year that they've done this. It's
okay.
Great.
Okay. So I've seen the bleachers at Dogwood, but of course that's a fabulous yard to watch the parades from. But they're inviting everybody to come out. They're calling it Quincy's Front Lawn. So it is a park and, you know, a historic landmark. So it belongs to all of us. So.
Absolutely. It's the third year, it says here, that they've had the party. So if I just read ahead, I would have not sounded like such a dork. But now, I think they've got the bleachers set up. If they don't, you can bring your own lawn chair and sit there. But the nice thing about that is, you know, you can park on Jersey. So you can park off Main, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And then they have, like, food and some entertainment and some things to entertain you while you're waiting for the parade to come.
Yeah.
Plus, you get the best area. And if you want to make a donation to the Lorenzo Bullhouse, why not?
Oh, yeah.
They are working hard to improve that. I go to the park board meeting, and, of course, it's owned by the citizens of Quincy through the Quincy Park District. But it is privately funded because our tax dollars can't pay for all that.
Mm-hmm.
But every time they start to do a project, Jenna, they run into another problem, as you can imagine as a homeowner.
Yeah.
So they put a new porch on, and then they found out they had a bad part in the roof. And so they got to don't fix the whole roof, but fix part of the roof. So it's like everything else. The minute you start to fix something, that's bad.
when you open a can of worms, it's like, I should have left that cabinet or kitchen alone.
Why did we say we needed a new porch? Now we have to fix the roof and everything else. But that house is beautiful, and it is a landmark in Quincy, and it is something we definitely want to preserve, and they are doing a great job.
Yeah.
The private partnership with the Quincy Park District is our tax dollars and the private partnership of the Friends of the Lorenzo Bullhouse.
So they have a lot of things going up there, going on there, and this fall they're partnering more with the Art Center and Quincy Museum. They have a fabulous event coming up in December.
Miracle on Main, I think it's called.
Yeah, I'm learning more about that. But this weekend while you're down there, the parade party is from 1 to 3, but also the museum is open from 1 to 4:30, and then the art center is open from 11 to 6 on Saturday. So, you know, you can make it a little afternoon downtown. But also, following the parade, a lot of people go to Flint Stadium for the field competition. So that one's really exciting this year. I've read that there's 2,000 performers. From 17 marching bands that'll be in the parade. There's 21 schools that'll be in the stadium shows. And then everyone's talking about Iowa coming down. So
not everyone, but the University of Iowa Marching Hawkeye Band, which it's huge. There's over 300 members of this band. They will be performing. Some people have never been to a college football game and have no idea how elaborate these college field competitions are. And you know the great thing about football and marching bands, whether you're a high school like Flynn or the University of Iowa, it's still the same field. You know, it's 100 yards. So you're going to see the same exact show that you would see if you were at Kinnick Stadium. So it's really going to be a chance for you to see what the best of the best, because the University of Iowa Marching Band is phenomenal.
Yes.
So
yes,
a chance for everybody to see that. So
the, well, and it's really good for the high school students to see what they can do after they graduate and they go on to that secondary education.
Yeah.
So
yeah, because I mean, about half the kids in the band are just playing for their own recreation and fun, and the other half are probably music majors and others. But again, you know, music is a lifelong artistic endeavor and something that can be encouraged in everyone. And so this is a great way for kids to say, hey, you know what? I think I'll try to try out for my college marching band or a college symphonic band or whatever, floats your boat. It's really good.
And then there's lots of scholarships and everything available. So not just to Iowa, but local. John Wood has scholarships.
QU
has.
We're going to have QU's. Music department is in our green room. They'll be talking in a moment.
Well, they just had a music visit day this past Monday. So, I mean, there's so many opportunities around here. So, we just encourage some music education.
Okay. So, the parade kicks off at 1 o'clock. It'll probably take till about 3 to get past whatever location you're at. It's a big, big parade with lots of many different styles of marching bands. Perhaps the best place to view it would either be near the judges' stand across from Madison Park, because you know they'll be playing there and really in their full force, or go down to the Lorenzo Bull home and see it there. And then after the parade is over, everybody heads out to Flynn Stadium. Now, there is an admission charge to get into the field show. I had that with me at some point, but I don't think I have that note with me now.
I think it's $10 for adults and $5 for students, and then you can like come and go as you please. Yeah.
And there'll be food trucks and all kinds of stuff out there, so you can make a night of it. The great thing about it is, if you don't like football but like the halftime show, this is all this is like 20 halftime shows back to back to back to back to back.
Yeah.
And you know, it's really interesting because all the years I went to Illinois, I mean, we had some good years, but and this year we're having a good year, but it's really funny. Everybody went to get refreshments or go to the bathroom during the second quarter or the fourth quarter because you didn't want to miss the halftime show.
Right.
You didn't want to be out of the concession stand during the halftime show. So if you're one of those people who only likes the halftime show, this is like tailor-made for you. So it's going to be going on, and that is Saturday, October 19th, of course, the parade is free, $10 adult admission, and this all helps Quincy Public School music program. And the other thing it helps is all of these kids, because that University of Iowa Hawkeye Band is giving some teaching seminars to those children, and they're also going to get notes on how they can improve their field shows. So it's really, it's a competition, but, you know, it's a lot of fun, and the kids look forward to it every year. So let's welcome them with the biggest crowd we can get on Main Street, starting at 1 o'clock on Saturday, October 19th. Also coming up, the Woodland Cemetery tours. I haven't heard. Are they sold out? Because they usually sell out, but
I'm not sure. I would call today.
I would call today, every Saturday in October, and of course on Halloween night, October 19th and Halloween night, World War II is the theme, and they'll be visiting the graves of people that had something to do with World War II. And then October 26th, the theme is musical spirits. Right along with our musical theme, people like Paul Morrison and people like that who put Quincy on the map musically will be highlighted in the spooky cemetery tour at Woodland. I'm sorry, I can't. Halloween.
There's many, many events happening that, you know, it's. There's something for every taste.
This is not super spooky, but it's $15 a person. You have to pre-register because they only have 4 tours a night.
Yeah.
And they always sell out. So if you want to go to these, don't wait. 217-222-1835 to register, or hsqac.org, Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County, hsqac.org. Again, you can go they're different tours. So, yeah. I mean, you can go to two, you can go to both of them.
The interesting part is, you know, the Historical Society, they do all the research about these people. So you're getting factual information right. about our local history.
And
so,
the docents are there as the ghosts
yes,
of these people yes, revisiting.
So that
yeah.
makes it a little more
That really, festive. Really, really makes it great. So, okay, Oktoberfest.
Yeah, bring a flashlight for
bring
that one.
Bring a flashlight for that one. Oktoberfest, this Saturday, the parade down Main Street, and then the field competition at Flynn starting at 4. But now, my favorite event of all time, the Quincy Public Library book sale. Last year, I took little Matthew, my little mentor kid. He was so cute, Jenna. Yeah, I said, let's pick out books for you, Matthew, and some stretch books that, you know, stretch your reading ability.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he got a whole bunch of books for himself, and then he goes, but my sisters need books, too. And Aww. So he picked out books for his sisters.
Good.
And then we checked out, and they told me how much it was a ridiculously low amount of money.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And so I said, well, I'm just going to write you a check for $50.
Oh, good.
And Matthew goes, oh, Mrs. Pinky, it's not $50. It's only like $15. I said, I know, Matthew, but I like the library and I want to give them money.
Yeah.
Well, earlier in the day, Matthew had been helping stock the shelves. And this gentleman gave him a dollar, you know.
Oh, wow.
And I said, oh, you don't have it. He goes, no, it's okay. He can have a dollar. He can go buy something with it.
Yeah.
You know, he's been a good helper, you
yeah.
know, little kid getting down on the bottom and bringing the books
right.
up, you know. And Matthew goes, can I give my dollar as a donation
oh.
too?
Oh.
oh, I was just like, yes, you can, Matthew.
Oh.
So it was so cute.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. if you have kids, OMG, can you get books for kids
oh,
at
yeah.
ridiculously low prices?
Oh, yeah.
The Quincy Public Library book sale, October 24th, 25th, and 26th at the Quincy Public Library, 526 Jersey. All the money stays right here. For the Friends of the Library,
mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about the times and everything.
Well, this is the semi-annual sale.
Yeah, they have one in the spring, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, all the proceeds go to their great programs. I signed my kids up for one tomorrow night. We're doing the haunted house craft in the children's department. So, you know, when you give and you're involved, it just makes it a really special place for everyone. So, the times are from 9:30 to 7:30 p.m. starting tomorrow. And then Friday and Saturday are from 9:30 to 4:30. And most of the books are 50 cents an inch, you know, when mm-hmm. they stack them up. So
some are specially priced because they're more expensive, but you know, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then, you know, if you get there on the last day, you can strike a bargain. The proceeds benefit the library. There's DVDs, there's CDs, there's large print, there's romance, there's cookbooks. I've gotten some books in French. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
But like I said, mm-hmm. I mean, if you've got kids and you'd like to have their own library at home,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is a way for them to go down and pick out a library book they never have to return.
Right.
And then, you know, if you don't want it after 2 years, you either give it to a friend next door or you take it back down to the library
oh, yeah.
and re-donate it again. So
oh, yeah.
that is October 24th, 25th, and 26th. Thursday from 9:30 to 7:30. Oh, if you get there at 9:30, there will be a line. People are kind of crazy in the beginning. I mean, I will say this. I don't go anymore at the very beginning because
sure.
I mean people are crazy.
Well,
mean they know what they go
yeah.
running right over to the genre they want. It's like
I like a little room to move around
yeah.
and I wouldn't want to be around a crowd so
yeah.
much.
So anyway, Friday and Saturday, of course, from 9:30 to 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it, but Jenna may return later in the Mary Griffith
sure.
show. But we've got to let her go now because Arts Quincy and Arts Beat is done. Thank you so very much
Thanks.
For everything you do for our community. We may talk to you again later
sure.
about a totally different topic.
Sure.
She's a woman of many, many talents. But first, we'll take a break, head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative, and then we're going to talk about Quincy University Music. Boy, are they growing and showing right here in Quincy. Cool. And don't forget the sounds of Motown this weekend at the Oakley Lindsay Center. We are back 20 minutes away from Fox News at the top of the hour. Christine Dom is here from Quincy University's Music Department. And my first question is, how do you like your new digs? Everybody's under one roof now at 18th and Honorary Jack McKenzie Lane or Seminary Road out there at the beautiful Connie Nieman Center for Music. What's it like?
Yes, we are so excited. We are loving it. We have brand new renovations. So we have new faculty offices, new practice rooms for the students, a new choir room, new classrooms with new computers in them. And we just feel so fortunate. The students have been so excited. They're practicing even more than they already were because they're proud of the space. And we are really excited to show it off.
Think about a small private institution. You cannot be everything to everybody. You have to have some niche marketing that says, that's where I want to go to school because mm-hmm. they have that great program.
Right.
And for Quincy University, music seems to be a big attractant.
Yeah, we are just really enjoying kind of the growth of our program. I think that, you know, the community members that have come to concerts over the years have really noticed the growth of our band and choir programs. And we're really excited to present an amazing concert this Sunday with the jazz band. And we're also extending to the community an open house of our new renovated area on Sunday. So those that come to the concert on Sunday will have a chance to walk through the new renovated space and kind of see why we're excited about it and just how much we're moving forward and an exciting time here.
Free of charge, Quincy yes. University Hawk Express Jazz Band, Sunday, October 20th at 3, Connie Nieman Center for Music there at 18th and Seminary Road. Will the open house be before or after or both?
Both. We'll let you walk through if you want to show up a little early and walk around and enjoy that space before the concert, or if you just kind of come to the concert right at 3 and want to stay later and walk around, it's open and available both times.
In reading the people who are going to be participating, Warsaw, Lorraine, Keokuk, Quincy, Beardstown, Cahokia, Clayton, Hannibal, you get a lot of local students,
really
but
do.
You also have New York, the state of New York. You have Minnesota.
Yes.
You know, you've got them from everywhere. Chicagoland area, of course.
Yeah.
What is it about Quincy University that attracts this level of musical exceptionalism? I mean, it's kind of like which came first, the chicken or the egg, because you seem to be now a focal point for music.
Yeah, well, the faculty have worked very hard to kind of have exposure. We go out into the high schools. We perform in the high schools. We just had a music visit day this past Monday, which brought 51 interested high school students on campus to tour the facilities and perform with our ensembles. So we really try to do a lot of outreach. We do outreach programs like Clarinet Day, Saxophone Day, Percussion Camp, Choral Festival, all of those things to bring kids on campus. And I think when the kids get on campus and they interact with the faculty and the current students, they realize that we really have a welcoming environment and they can see themselves succeeding here at QU.
How many of the students are music majors that participate in stuff like this? And how many just love music and don't want that as their career? They're going to mm-hmm. be a doctor or they're going to be a lawyer or a cowboy, I don't know, but they just want to keep playing their trumpet or whatever.
Yeah, so we have a mix of both. I would say, you know, the leaders in our ensembles are our music majors, and they're looking to be educators later on in the future. But we also have a wonderful mix of all of the majors that are represented at Quincy University, anywhere from nursing to psychology to criminal justice, you name it, they're in our ensembles. And it's just a nice way that they can still pursue music beyond high school and really have a family away from home. The music department really provides that, and they make a lot of friends, and it's just a wonderful environment.
Well, you're going to get a chance to see them, the Hawk Express Jazz Band, in concert 3 o'clock this Sunday afternoon, free of charge. Let's talk about your wonderful program, because some of these songs everybody recognizes.
Yes.
some of them you'd recognize the tune, maybe not the name, and mm-hmm. some of them are like, oh, I've never heard of that. That must be something college students study. And I'm a few of those. I'm everywhere in between, but let's just run down the program and tell us what makes that so great.
Well, I do try to, I really try to make an eclectic program every time we present a jazz concert. So I try to do something old, something new, something different, so that everybody's going to have a piece that they like. I'm really excited about Sweet Home Chicago, just a classic blues tune. And our vocalist, John Beisner, is out of this world. He is so entertaining, and he is going to ham it up. And I really think people are going to get a real kick out of that. We're going to end with Caravan, which is probably the hardest piece that I've had my jazz band present. I'm super excited. It's a very difficult level, and we are going to, I think, knock some people's socks off with that. So.
And John Beisner will be playing the bongos.
He will. He's incredible.
I have to ask you this, because obviously as a college-level professor, you have to teach a college-level music program, although you want to do different things every year.
Yeah.
But you have to look at your students. So like you're looking at your sophomores going, when they're a senior, I definitely want their talent to be exposed.
Yes.
So I'm going to think about this song or this piece we might do 2 years from now.
Yeah, I really do try to keep that in mind. I try to feature seniors or music majors that are outstanding. And so you'll see on the program, we're going to feature, a clarinet player, Raven Sweeney, even though, you know, clarinet is more of an older jazz form from the New Orleans style jazz, but she's going
Pete
to
Fountain. Do
exactly,
not, do
Betty
not
Goodman.
Put Pete
Ari
Fountain
Shaw.
Down.
No,
come on.
No, I know, but she's going to play "Song for You" on clarinet, and it's just fabulous. And then same with Alana Edgecombe on alto saxophone. She's going to play a beautiful ballad, "Through the Looking Glass." So I do try to keep in mind who are these exceptional performers within my ensemble and try to feature them.
A Song for You with Raven Sweeney on the clarinet. Don't get around much anymore.
Yeah, classic.
Duke Ellington, Through the Looking Glass, you mentioned. Zaragoza.
Yes.
No idea.
That's a really fun Latin tune. So right now I have 4 percussionists in my jazz band, which is a lot. And so I want to keep them entertained. So anytime you have a lot of percussionists, I try to do a Latin tune because that provides a lot of variety that they can play the congas and, different types of instruments that are interesting and really just in that venue.
Well, and again, that's where the smaller Franciscan University comes in, because you can't tell who your freshman class is going to be if you suddenly have a whole bunch of percussionists and nobody who's playing the French horn. Well, guess what? You can't feature the French horn for a while.
Right.
But you want them to have the most challenging experience they can. It's so interesting. Somebody, when Dr. Todd Pettit was named superintendent of Quincy Schools, probably the rudest thing I've ever heard was somebody who said, but he's just a music teacher.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be a science teacher in order to lead an academic program. Stick up for you wonky musicians.
I would say... musicians are natural leaders, especially if you're a music teacher. We know how to multitask. We know how to put on events. We know how to teach. We know how to pull out the strengths in people and encourage them and kind of get them from. I think it's one of the most unique styles of education because people see the proof of what we're doing on a regular basis. You know, we're judged more often than other teachers because people come to our concerts and they say, oh, there's more musicians or there's less musicians or they sound great this year, you know. So we are used to that kind of pressure. And we're also used to fighting for what we do, you know, because of that, just what you said, and people say he's just a music teacher. Sometimes people don't see the value in music. And so we're used to having to promote ourselves and fight for all of those things. So I think music educators are the best leaders, personally.
I think that as part of the jazz performance on Sunday, you ought to have the math department there with advanced calculus students doing equations on the board. And if they make a mistake, blame the teacher.
Let's go.
if somebody hits a wrong note, Christine Dom will be like, well, Professor Dom must not have done her job. But, you know, the great thing about it is you're going to get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 songs.
Yeah.
It's going to, jazz is sometimes mellow, but it's really an upbeat format.
It is.
You're going to get in, you're going to get out.
Yes.
You're going to have fun. You're going to get to see the brand new renovated campus there on the north campus of Quincy University. So there's hardly a reason not to show up at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, it's a really varied, exciting program. I think everyone will love it.
Okay. 3 o'clock Sunday, October 20th at the Connie Nieman Center for Music. They're all under the same roof now.
Yay!
The music department has moved lock, stock, and barrel out to the North Campus. And so go out and see exactly what is happening there. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a third topic on the Mary Griffith Show, a bonus. You get a bonus, and I'm not even charging you extra for it. Stay tuned. Ask and you shall receive. I not only have one bonus guest, I have two bonus guests. So Jenna Seaborn is here, and they're having a medical expense benefit fundraiser October 26th. And tell us all about this, because this is pretty personal to you, Jenna.
Yeah, it is. Really, it's all kind of surreal still. And I just wanted to say, you know, we're really grateful for some people who stepped up and volunteered to organize this fundraiser. So my partner has been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and I thought it would be great if I could just like give a brief awareness announcement, I guess, about the disease.
Yeah.
So
we hear that, but what is that?
Yeah. So usually October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So in September, I learned, along with this diagnosis, that that's Lymphoma Awareness Month. So
unfortunately, you became very aware of it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So very close and personal. But his name is Jacob Messmer, and he has a son, Ethan, who's 11, and then we have my daughters, Sarah and Susie. You probably heard me talk about on the show. They're 12 and 7. But we're just, I don't know, I'm going to say I'm middle-aged, but a younger
family.
You're
young. You have a young family.
And Jacob was diagnosed with this rare aggressive form of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and he's a little bit younger, but it's just not really common for someone that age to get this type of disease. So it's a blood cancer that affects the lymphomatic system.
Lymph system, yeah. Those are the little nodules under your armpits, and they're all over your body.
Yeah. So,
and you don't want cancer in them.
No. So the symptoms were really kind of weird and just came on suddenly. So we actually thought it was like a respiratory illness, but he did have a lot of belly pain and stuff. So we did find out, luckily, the doctors at Quincy Medical Group kind of looked at him for a week, and then eventually the end of the week sent him over to Blessing, and that's when we found out that it wasn't, you know, the respiratory illness or pneumonia or anything that we had originally thought. But he was able to get a biopsy, and he started chemo. So far he's doing pretty fair. But the Southern Rail Band has volunteered to come and play at Maverick. So that's a venue that Jacob runs downtown. It was the former La Gondola.
Yeah, it's a great new venue.
Yeah.
And they're doing a lot of things for charity there. So Maverick, they're at 8th and State.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from 5 to 11, October 26th. And music from Southern Rail Band and boot kicking and all kinds of fun stuff. And there's going to be food and music. And is it a free will donation or is there a charge?
Free will.
Okay.
If you want to donate for the food or the band, you're more than welcome. It is a kid-friendly place, so there is a bar that offers drinks, but it's not like a regular bar or place like that. So we're going to have pulled pork and mac and cheese. But if anybody wants more information, the event's floating around on Facebook. You could look at it at the Mavericks Facebook page. But if anybody wants some more information, you could reach out to Mary and she can connect you with me. But, you know, if anyone out there wants some more information on the disease, I'm happy to share the what I've learned.
She doesn't want to be
also
an expert. That's
visit
for sure.
Your doctor.
Visit your doctor.
I'm not a professional.
That is absolutely right. Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma has touched Jenna's family, and they're having a fundraiser October 26th from 5 to 11 at Mavericks Landing Zone. They're at 8th and State. If you can come and help them by having great food and great dancing, that would be great. Thank you, Jenna.
We'll have a lot of line dancers there. Southern Rail has a great following, and there's a lot of people who do two-step, so I've learned a little bit of that, but I know Copperhead Rose, so you'll usually see me dance to that one.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And now we have the bonus guest number 4 on the Mary Griffith Show, the shortest segment ever on the Mary Griffith Show.
Hello.
Katie Roskamp is here. You've got a guest coming in Friday night. It's almost too late to get tickets for this, but give us the 1-minute rundown. If we want to see a real American hero, we could have dinner with him Friday night at
Friday night.
Country Club. How would we get, who is he and how would we go about getting tickets?
So Colonel Frank Furr is a retired Air Force pilot with the U-2 program. And so what his claim to fame is that he ran the program that did the high altitude surveillance during the Cold War over the Soviet Union and over China. And so he's coming to Quincy.
Plane.
Yes. So he is coming to Quincy this week, and he's going to speak about his military experiences at the Quincy Country Club at 6 o'clock on behalf of the Quincy Museum. Tickets are still available until 4:30 this afternoon, and you can either get those online at thequincymuseum.org, or we have partnered with Quincy Community Theater, and you can pick them up at the box office as well.
Well, that is fantastic. So it's $100.
$100.
And that money goes to the Quincy Museum. But again, does Frank Furr have a tie to Quincy?
I don't think directly.
No. But it's great that, that you're bringing him in because, again, this is an important part of our world history and our American history. And it's going to be nice to hear it from the horse's mouth, how things really were. Back in the Cold War, it was definitely a race for intelligence, literally.
It was.
So Frank Furr will tell his story. I love it. It's like at 70,000 feet or something like that. Really high surveillance of the spy planes and everything. So $100 a ticket, Quincy Country Club, Friday night, 6 o'clock, beautiful dinner served, wonderful banquet, and then your chance to contribute to the Quincy Museum.
Okay. That is correct.
And when is the Quincy Museum open?
Quincy Museum, we are open Wednesday through Sunday, 1 to 4:30. We will be closed throughout November to decorate for Christmas, and then we will open back up right after the Thanksgiving holiday through Christmas, and then we're closed for the season January through March.
Thank you very much.
Yep, absolutely.